Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Iran deal, headline Bloomberg. Revived Iran deal would need a congressional vote. This according to Michael McCaul, the ranking Republican on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, who, Bloomberg notes in this report, would be chair in the event of Republicans dominating the midterm election. And in January, Michael McCaul would assume the chairmanship. Needs a congressional vote. That in itself is a controversial point. So I'll leave that and welcome Benham Bentaleblou of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He's a senior fellow. Because in these last hours, there's been much excitement about the Iran deal, which I have long regarded as a bit like Dracula. It's not dead unless you put a wooden stake in its heart. And even then, Hollywood finds a way. The FT reports, in these early hours of this day from London, after months of false starts, an agreement to revive the 2015 Iran nuclear deal appears closer than ever, as the United States and Iran appear to have resolved many of the sticking points that have delayed a final sign-off. Benham, a very good evening to you. Closer than ever. This isn't horseshoes. Is that a persuasive argument? Is that a negotiating position? Good evening to you.
A very good evening to you, John. I think you raise an excellent point, and it would be remiss not to comment on the Dracula analogy at first, because I would never bequeath unto a deal like the JCPOA, like the 2015 nuclear deal, or any lesser version that we're bound to get down the line from it, anything that can be as cool or suave or debonair as any of the initial Draculas, as this 140, 150-page text of surrender to the Islamic Republic. And that does seem to be what we have in store. There's been dribs and drabs of leaks and allegations. What's really furthered this, of course, is that the U.S. has been relatively silent. The official U.S. position has been to take relative silence in the face of all of these. We know that the Iranians have been pressing for more guarantees. There's allegations now that the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps foreign terrorist organization delisting has been dropped, but many of the terror sanctions issues and dual sanctions issues remain. So the Faustian bargain of removing terrorism sanctions and nuclear sanctions on an entity that is only pausing nuclear activity and not ceasing terrorist activity is almost certain to remain in this political jigsaw puzzle of negotiations, as, of course, are many issues related to a much more important technical track in Vienna, not in these fancy hotels, but with the International Atomic Energy Agency Board of Governors, which is also headquartered there. If much reporting is to be believed, it looks like that technical process may be subjected to a political process, much like we saw in 2015 before the JCPOA entered its implementation phase in 2016. So there's lots to worry about in these leaks. There's lots to worry about in these positions. But if past is prologue, and if the Iranians sense that the Americans want a deal for political reasons more than they themselves need a deal for economic reasons, we're bound to get some kind of bad political agreement that, even if it does survive a congressional vote, will haunt U.S. national security and U.S. national security interests for some time.
Benham, when last we spoke, and when I spoke last week with your colleague Andrea Stricker, I learned that there is an ongoing investigation not satisfied by the IAEA about anomalies in radioactive waste or material found, I believe, in 2019 and perhaps one other instance before the pandemic. Is that to be resolved in this Iran deal? Because the suspicion was very loud at the time that Iran is not transparent.
Well, resolved is a very interesting word, and I'm glad you spoke to my friend and colleague Andrea on this. Her work and some of her former organization, Institute for Science International Security, has been really at the forefront of this issue. To be frank, many had dismissed the atomic archive that Israel had seized and revealed, but many of those key points for the International Atomic Energy Agency to investigate came from the atomic archive, certain sites, certain undeclared facilities. And when the IEA finally did press based on the material that it had gleaned from the atomic archive, it did, as you said, mention that there were traces of man-made uranium. The Iranians for about 3.5 years have failed to provide, or 3 years, have failed to really provide adequate responses to the IEA's queries. Those are larger violations than something related to the JCPOA. Those are violations of Iran's safeguards obligations and potentially even violations of its commitments under the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. So ultimately, when I said that a technical issue is now being subjected to a political timeline, what we may see, even though Director General Grossi of the IEA has certainly been fighting this, is an attempt to subordinate and circumscribe and render merely an academic discussion investigation into those undeclared sites, undeclared materials, and really kind of address it and sweep it under the rug at the same time, so that the political space can be created for JCPOA reentry. This is literally what happened with the PMD issue, the possible military dimensions issue. There was a pretty average to poor report, you could say, put out in December 2015 that was used as an on-ramp politically for the JCPOA to enter its implementation phase in January 2016. And this is likely what the political forces are trying to do here. They're trying to create a much larger overarching political process that would subsume an IEA safeguards investigation and then ultimately use the fact that they merely address these rather than resolve these concerns to barrel ahead and shove another fatally flawed nuclear deal down everyone's throats.
What is to be the mechanism that monitors the JCPOA in the event of suspect violations? Is it the IAEA? Is it the UN Security Council? Has that been determined?
So there is, again, if one believes that you're going back to a JCPOA or a deal predicated on the JCPOA, then there is a joint commission, a body which can address concerns, and then they can shoot up those concerns through a dispute resolution mechanism, something that the UK, I believe, has triggered as of 2020, if I'm not mistaken. It's a problem-resolving process built into bodies created by the deal. But for monitoring and verification, rather than the political stuff, it is, again, as you just mentioned, the International Atomic Energy Agency. And they're supposed to be backstopped by the Board of Governors that they have, which is also supposed to be backstopped by the UN Security Council. And in essence, you do need a resolution of censure to really move this issue politically out of the IEA's hands into the UN Security Council's hands if you wish to put teeth behind the issues and the areas where the IEA to date still has not had proper answers. The problem is the political appetite for this move has been dwindling, and the action that was taken earlier this summer with one resolution of censure, you could say, was too weak or too little and too late. And guess what? As you and I have discussed on this show many times before, when we fiddle and when we flounder and when we have debates with ourselves in public, the Ayatollahs are watching, Putin is watching, Xi is watching, Kim is watching, and they're acting and reacting and calibrating, and they know what we're afraid of.
Two aspects that just talk over these weeks, but they stay with me because they seem unsolved. One is the IRGC, the terror outfit, and within that, the Al-Quds force. Is it part of these final discussions whether it is or is not to remain a terrorist organization and sanctioned?
The way things are going now might allow the Biden administration, again, based on allegations, based on unconfirmed reports, based on things we've seen in the press for the past month and a half now. And again, as you mentioned before, this is very fast changing. The way things are going now might permit the president to say he kept these terrorism penalties in name only. But in so doing, if he's going back to the deal that allows relief to entities like the Central Bank of Iran or the National Iranian Tanker Company or the National Iranian Oil Company, which since their initial sanctions under Obama have been hit with terrorism sanctions under Trump, would mean that you would have to also waive terrorism sanctions. So there's a saying for this in Persian, which is you push away with the hand and you pull towards you with the foot. So publicly you push away, you look like you're showing strength, but behind, under the table, away from everyone's eyes, you're actually pushing towards you. You're actually admitting that you need something or someone. And in essence, this phasing issue is likely going to haunt Washington.
Now the mystery. There is language suggesting that the U.S. is going to guarantee the JCPOA beyond the presidency of Joe Biden, whether that's 25 or 29, beyond the presidency. I don't ask whether Iran believes that. I ask whether our European allies believe that, that there's a mechanism to impose upon a new president decisions made.
I would certainly hope our European friends, partners, and interlocutors who've had much more experience directly in the U.S. system than the Iranians, who are the adversaries, the government of the Islamic Republic in this case, would know that there is actually a mechanism, not necessarily to tie hands, but to sink costs and to ultimately have things last throughout multiple administrations. And that is a treaty.
Yes.
That is actually working to have a good deal, working to actually have a win-win or a positive-sum outcome, the kind of things that they used to believe multilateral diplomacy was predicated on, rather than some kind of loose political agreement to have a shadow sanctions list, as the source that you were mentioning, John, was alleging, which is to find a way to delay sanctions implementation on some entities, even if there is a political change in Washington in 2024 and 2025.
And we circle back to the headline from Bloomberg. Revived Iran deal would need a congressional vote, says Michael McCaul, who will, if the Republicans are successful in the midterm, will be a decision maker in the majority in the House of Representatives. Ben and Ben Talibu for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Everything will change in another day. We'll stay with it. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.